Welcome to another edition of the Health First Show. I'm your host, Dave Fuller, and we've got an interesting show lined up for you today. We're going to be talking with Brad King about maybe some of the things you can do to avoid gaining 8 to 10 pounds over the Christmas holidays. And in the second half of the show, we'll be talking with researcher Cheryl Myers. But before we do that, here's Ridge with the health news.
A new study suggests the longer babies breastfeed, the less likely they may be to become overweight. Researchers at Cornell University in Ithaca, New York, followed 595 children from birth to age 2. They tracked the children's weight and length over this time and compared individual children's growth trajectories to how long the children breastfed. Children at the highest risk for gaining extra weight included those with overweight or obese mothers, mothers with low education levels, and mothers who smoked during pregnancy. Almost 59% of the children at risk for being overweight had mothers with one or more of these characteristics, compared to about 43% of the children not at risk for excessive weight gain. Among those children with a higher risk for obesity, babies who breastfed for less than 2 months were more than twice as likely to gain extra weight than those who breastfed for at least 4 months. The findings were published in the January print issue of Pediatrics. People with sleep apnea may have lower levels of aerobic fitness, a new study suggests. Sleep apnea causes the upper airway to become blocked by soft tissue in the back of the throat during sleep. The research included 15 adults with moderate to severe obstructive sleep apnea and a comparison group of 19 adults with mild or no apnea. They pedaled a stationary bike at increasingly harder resistance levels and kept going until exhaustion. The researchers noted people with sleep apnea are more likely to be overweight or obese and thus less fit. However, they found people with sleep apnea had poorer aerobic fitness than those in the comparison group, even if they were the same body size. Results of the study were published in the November 15th issue of the Journal of Clinical Sleep Medicine. The heart disease and diabetes that often accompany obesity may rob people of almost a decade of life and close to 2 decades of a healthy life, Canadian researchers report. The researchers out of Montreal's McGill University say a modest reduction in weight of about 10 pounds and as little as 30 minutes of daily physical activity most days of the week have been proven to reduce the risk of developing diabetes by as much as 60%. While the study found an association between obesity and lifespan, it did not prove that obesity shortens life. The report was published in the December 5th online edition of The Lancet Diabetes and Endocrinology. And finally, a new report shows the epidemic of prescription painkiller abuse continues to take a deadly toll in the United States, with fatal overdoses involving drugs such as OxyContin and Vicodin tripling over a decade. Deaths from another form of opiate, heroin, also nearly tripled between 1999 and 2012, according to the report released by the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention. There was one glimmer of hope, however. In the last year of the study, 2011-2012, the CDC noted a 5% drop in prescription painkiller deaths, the first such decline ever. The numbers echo similar findings released by the CDC in September. That report covered the years 1999 to 2011 and found steady year-by-year increases in overdose deaths linked to narcotic painkillers.
Thanks for that, Rich. Well, Brad King, our first guest, is a nutritional researcher and the author of 11 books, including his latest book, Dirty Diets, Exposing the Dietary Lies That Are Keeping You From Looking and Feeling Your Best. Brad King, welcome to the show again.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Dave.
Well, you know, we were listening to those newscasts and we talked about, you know, they talked about heart disease, sleep apnea, diabetes, and painkiller, you know, death overdoses. Are there any commonalities there?
Man, you know, absolutely. There are many commonalities. I mean, you know, first of all, we have to understand that the common denominator of almost everything is stress, and it's really how we perceive stress, and it's how our body perceives stress. And we have to understand that there's various stressors which are psychological, physiological, biochemical. You know, when we're talking about things like dependencies on painkillers, you know, we have to understand that that is a biochemical stress on the body, where the body believes, actually starts to need these painkillers as if it can't, you know, create its own natural opioids anymore, which are its own natural painkillers. We all have this ability to be able to blunt pain, but very few of us are doing it diet properly because we're not eating the right foods, we're not doing the right things, and once again, we're experiencing an overload of this stress. And you know, stress is also the reason why we prematurely age. It's the reason why we are suffering, at least to a large extent, the obesity epidemic these days. And I'm not saying that food has nothing to do with it. It has, you know, probably 80 to 90% to do with it. But the point is, if we are stressed out, we end up depleting various chemicals in the body, especially in the brain. And when we deplete these specific chemicals, number one, we are in more pain. Number two, we crave more of the sweet and starchy foods that make us fat and also keep us fat. This has been scientifically proven because they overstimulate the hormone insulin, which puts the body primarily into a fat storage mode for many hours after you give into those cravings. But it's also the brain's way of self-medicating, of bringing its normal brain chemistry back into balance. And, you know, a lot of people who are depressed these days, who suffer from sleep disturbances, once again, who suffer from pain, the people who have the excess cravings, the people who are grumpy or suffer from anxiety, you know, the list goes on and on. These are also the people that have the imbalances in those brain chemicals, which are causing their brain to reach out and say, hey, I need those foods. And at the end of the day, if your brain says it wants something bad enough, you're going to actually end up giving into that because you can't win. It's almost like trying to have an argument with your wife. Eventually, you might as well just let her win the argument if you know what's good for you.
Well, you know, Brad, I thought I was going to try to stump you a little bit with that question because I didn't think that the painkillers were linked to the other thing, but you've proved me wrong. So, you know, good on you. So, hey Brad, you know, in this interview, we were going to be talking about why people tend to gain 8 to 10 pounds over the Christmas holidays and is there a relationship between that and stress?
Absolutely. Once again, we're the ones who are creating the scenario. Let's never forget this. You know, this is a time of the year where we should be rejoicing. We should be relaxing a little more. We should be really happy. I mean, you know, it's beautiful to see all the lights, and we're here to give presents and thanks and forgiveness and all these wonderful things. That's what really the holiday season is supposed to represent. But to our brains, we've changed that around, and we look at it as, oh, this is absolutely crazy. I've got to go to this party. I've got to buy this gift. I have my in-laws coming over, and maybe I don't like my in-laws. I'm not talking about you, of course, Dave, but there are some other people out there that perceive everything as stressful. You know, oh, my kids want this. My kids want that. I may not have enough money to buy them these presents. You know, there's just an overload of expectations. At least that's what we perceive at this time of the year, and by doing that, research shows that we end up depleting this chemical, this beautiful amino acid that we absolutely have to have because it's essential. Whenever we have an essential amino acid, that's a building block of protein. That means that the body can't make it. It has nothing to make that amino acid. So it needs a constant supply of that amino acid in order to keep functioning effectively. And the amino acid I'm talking about in this particular scenario is something called tryptophan. There's a lot of research now in anti-aging circles that is showing that aging is in itself a disorder of tryptophan or, you know, disabled tryptophan metabolism. So, number one, we don't have enough tryptophan coming in through the diet, and tryptophan is found in protein-containing foods. People may say, well, what are you talking about? We have more than enough protein in this day and age. The research is showing that's not necessarily true because we're supposed to have 0.8 grams per kilogram of body weight of protein, which our government says this is more than sufficient, yet a lot of new research is showing that that factor is wrong by close to 38%, maybe even higher. So if we don't take in these amino acids, this constant supply of amino acids, the body is going to take it from its very own structures. And if we constantly degrade things like tryptophan, tryptophan is also needed to make a chemical in the brain that makes us very happy, makes us very balanced, helps control our pain response. That's called serotonin. So a lot of individuals are actually suffering from a disorder called serotonin disorder. And from this, we're just constantly craving more of the tryptophan in order to raise that serotonin and start feeling balanced again. And the more stressed out we are, the more we worry about anything. We don't need to be running away from, you know, a gun-yielding person that's going to shoot us in order to create stress. We could just be thinking about someone with a gun pointing it at us, and we'll actually create the exact same stress scenario. So understand perception equals reality in the face of danger, and danger is just a big fancy word for stress.
Brad, you mentioned tryptophan, and it's interesting because, you know, I thought maybe the Americans had it wrong by having their Thanksgiving in December, but actually, perhaps they got it right because they're getting that tryptophan from that turkey, and maybe that's helping them de-stress the week, you know, for that whole week when they're eating the turkey leftovers.
Well, yes and no, Dave, because then they eat too much and they gain more weight, and then they take their clothes off and look in front of a full-length mirror and start becoming even more stressed because of the extra weight gain.
Okay, here we go. So, you know, you were talking earlier about the sleep deprivation and you know how we crave more food. How much more food do we crave if we've been, you know, if we're not sleeping, if we're worried about getting presents for somebody, or how much we're spending on Christmas,
yeah,
or cooking that turkey dinner, for example, and having the in-laws over. What is the effect on our waste?
You know what? That's an absolutely phenomenal question. There was a study that actually looked at that, because the link is when we're stressed out, we also don't sleep very effectively. And if we don't sleep very effectively, then we end up craving a lot more of these foods for the entire next day. And there was a study from the University of Chicago that what they did was they took a group of men and they limited the amount of sleep that these men had to just 4 hours a night. And the next day, these men's appetite and hunger levels shot up by 25%. This has been proven in subsequent studies. The amazing thing was that these sleep-deprived volunteers had insatiable cravings for only sweet and salty foods. They weren't even remotely interested in fruits and vegetables. They were given the choice, but they said, no, thank you. And after the researchers crunched some of the numbers, they estimated that if left alone to eat whatever they wanted, these people who are sleep-deprived would consume at least an extra 500 calories a day. And that would equate to one full pound of extra fat every single week. So that's just by losing sleep. Now, I said these people were left to only have 4 hours of sleep a night. I know a lot of individuals out there that do not even sleep 4 hours. They may go to bed and be in bed for 6 to 8 hours, but they're constantly waking up. They're constantly, you know, worrying about things. They can't shut their mind off, so they always wake up very tired, and these are the same people that are craving the very sweet and starchy foods again.
And Brad, what about people that are working shift work? I mean, it's not really related to Christmas waking, but does it have an effect?
Yeah, it absolutely does. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of research showing that shift workers have a much higher rate of cancer, various hormonally related cancers, but at the same time, they have a higher level of cortisol. Cortisol is the premier stress hormone in the body, and whenever we have high levels of cortisol, we usually have very low levels of a counter-regulatory hormone, which we can sometimes call our anti-aging hormone, because the people that look young and feel young and perform in a youthful manner usually have very, very high levels of this hormone, DHEA, and low levels of cortisol. So whenever we have high levels of cortisol, we have very low levels of DHEA. And this is also what's happening in people who do shift work. They have these high levels of cortisol. Cortisol tends to allow a lot of fat to accumulate primarily in the abdominal cavity. They've done studies on women where they call these women high stress responders. I don't know of any woman out there, Dave, maybe you do, that doesn't worry about one thing or another. You know, that's the nature of being a woman. Women worry. They worry about the men in their lives. They worry about the women in their lives. They worry about the children and the pets and you name it. You know, they are the nurturers of our society. So they're constantly worrying, which means they usually have higher levels of these stress hormones, and they tend to dump a lot of the fats directly in that abdominal cavity. So the people who do shift work just tend to do that a lot easier than the average person and even, you know, the average woman. But the point is, yes, they have a harder time losing fat, a much easier time gaining the weight, and usually they crave a lot more of these foods that are keeping us fat and making us even fatter.
We're talking with Brad King. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to find out more about how you can prevent the fact that you might gain 8 or 10 pounds over Christmas.